a fair lesson, and that is, how shall they hear? That's from Romans chapter 10. It's an intriguing question. Here is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the very thing we've been talking about, the power of God unto salvation. And yet, the question found later in this book is, how shall they hear? You see, you and I need to understand and have an appreciation of the fact that just because the Bible exists does not in and of itself mean the world is going to be saved. Just because Christ died does not mean that the world is going to be saved. And so Romans chapter 10 says, how shall they hear? Now the background of that question is verse 13 that concerns every person on this earth. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the background of this question. We need to understand the fact that here is the background of the question that ends, at least in part, as far as our lesson is concerned, with this statement, how shall they hear? The fact Christ died, the fact the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and the statement that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord, all of them are directly related to the question we look at in this lesson this morning, and that is, how shall they hear? Now here's the reality. The world is lost. We need to learn to believe that. When God looks down from heaven, He doesn't see a lot of good people and a lot of bad people. He sees a world that is lost and some that are saved by His grace. And that's all He sees. You and I need to understand that moral goodness is not going to save individuals. If you have moral goodness, you don't need the cross of Christ. If a man can be saved by just living a good life, forget the cross, because on the day of judgment, that individual who is justifying himself in the sight of men by saying, well, I don't do this and I don't do this and talking about all the wrong that everybody else is doing is going to be able to say, make the same argumentation to God. The world is lost. And that's what Romans chapter 10 is talking about. But we need to also understand the implication of Romans chapter 10. When the verse says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, the implication is there is no salvation unless there is calling. The world is lost, but there's no way on this earth, even though Christ died, even though He shed His blood, that there can be any salvation without calling on the name of the Lord. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that imply? Doesn't it imply if a man does not call on the name of the Lord that he's not going to be saved? Oh, yes. Even though it's not explicitly stated, the implication is just as obvious as the affirmation that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord, the implication is, and if you don't call on the name of the Lord, you're going to be lost. Would you look again at the passage? Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? There's another implication, and that is, there can be no calling without faith. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You see, the implication is that if there is no faith, there can be no calling on the name of the Lord. By the way, does this verse not also imply that there's a difference in having faith and calling on the name of the Lord? The Bible talks about a man having faith and that individual who has faith then calling on the name of the Lord. Now, faith is a part of everything we do on this earth. But the presence of faith exists before the calling on the name of the Lord exists. Even the devil believe, even the devil have faith. And there are a lot of folks that believe that Jesus lived who are not calling on the name of the Lord. There's a difference in the two. But there's another implication from this verse. Listen to the statement. How shall they call in Him through whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? There is no calling without faith, and there is no faith without hearing. Some way, in a mysterious sort of way, we have separated this whole process from the salvation process. And yet it's as wrong as it can be. There is the sin that's in the world. There's a holy God in heaven. There's an accountable mankind on this earth, and there's a holy God to whom they shall give an account in their lives. And there are those things that intervene between an individual who's sinful on this earth and that individual who is going to spend eternity with God. And this passage points it out. One of the things that stands between those two things is calling on the name of the Lord. But you cannot call on that individual in whom you have not believed. And you cannot believe in that individual of whom you have not heard. We need to understand that the whole basis of mission work in foreign lands is this very passage. The world is lost. You ask the question, but what about the man over in Africa or some other distant third world country that's never even heard of Jesus Christ? What about his situation in relationship to God? Well, what does the Bible say about it? That man who's going to be saved is that man who calls on the name of the Lord. But if he hasn't heard about the Lord, there's no way he can call on the name of the Lord. Now, Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and 48 says, that individual is not going to be judged and punished as severely as those of us who have heard. We're on a different plateau and a different agenda from those two individuals, but they're still lost, and I wouldn't want to be either one of them, would you? But there's this other thing that is implied by this verse. Not only can there be, there will be no faith without hearing, listen to the verse that says, how shall they call on him of whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's interesting in and of itself. Because the implication is there can be no hearing until there is teaching, preaching, that is in that individual's life. Now, there is this aspect of this, and that is we usually sometimes use the word, and we'll emphasize this even stronger later in this lesson, but sometimes we use the word preacher to refer to that individual who stands publicly and proclaims the word of God. But that preacher in this context, that preacher in this verse, might be one of the apostles. It might be an individual sitting down and reading his Bible. It might be an individual who's mailed out a correspondence course. It might be an individual who's invited some individual into their home just to talk about God. It might be two individuals at work where spiritual discussion is coming along. But involved in that is that there can be no hearing unless there is that individual who is there prepared to teach that individual. But there's more involved in this. Verse says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And so the implication is there can be no hearing without a preacher, and there is no preacher without being sent. Now, who's that? Do you know Mark 16:15? Can we quote Mark 16 and 15 together? And he said unto them, everybody, Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, visitors, I wouldn't want you to think this church is smart. That's January's missionary verse, our memory verse. So it's not that we just know every verse in the Bible. Wouldn't want you to get the wrong impression. You know, we're just a bunch of folks trying to learn the Word of God. But you see, that's a verse we've memorized. But isn't that the verse that commands us? Isn't that the verse that sends us? The implication of all of that, you parallel that to Matthew chapter 28 that says, and when you baptize them and is involved in that teaching of them, is to teach them what I've taught you to do. What's that? I've taught you to go and I've taught you to teach. And so you're to teach them to go and teach them to teach. And on it goes all the way down to this very generation. And so you and I need to understand that there is a great commission to us. God has sent us. That's what Mark 16, 15 implies. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There is that one who has all authority, who has said to every one of us, you have a personal obligation to the salvation of the world. Now, since that's true of every one of us, can we not then affirm that the primary work of the church is to fulfill this whole picture? The Lord didn't build the church, so we get together on Sunday and eat a little bread, drink a little grape juice, say a little prayer, and sing a little song and listen to a long sermon. That's not what it's all about. You see, that's not why he died. That's not what the church is all about. The church is not about this wonderful times when we eat together and enjoy the presence of each other. That's not what the church is all about. The primary reason Jesus built the church is right here, and it's tied to the salvation of the lost world where everybody is lost. And we must feel a personal obligation in relationship to them. How shall they hear without a preacher? Well, what is a preacher? Well, it is true that the Bible took ordinary words and used them in special ways. Let's see if I can illustrate. The word elder is a very common word in the Greek language. It was a concept in Judaism. There were the elders within the cities in the New Testament world, in the Jewish world, as well as in the Greek world, in the Greek cities. And God took that common, ordinary word and gave that common, ordinary word a specialized meaning. And so there are those who are elders in the church. The same way of the word deacon. Are you aware that that word deacon, translated minister, is a word that's applied to every Christian on earth? Now, the feminine of that is deaconesses. We have hopefully a church full of deaconesses here. That's the ordinary common usage of the word. It's just the ordinary word. Anytime in the New Testament in the Greek that if you're talking about just serving one another, the word there is diakonos. It's the word serving. But God took a common, ordinary word and gave it a specialized meaning. Now, there's a sense in which the word preacher is used in that way. But you and I need to understand that not only did he use these common, ordinary words in special ways, he used them in ordinary ways. Now, listen to Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. They were all scattered abroad except the apostles. Then they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, listen, preaching the word. Everybody in the church, young people, old people, men and women, all of them except the leadership, except the apostles, were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the word. Now that's important. Because of the question of this lesson, how shall they hear? And the answer is preachers. Not in some specialized sense. Not in some specialized sense that there are those individuals who have an obligation that others do not have. Now, using this word in the common, ordinary way, let me ask you another question. What if there are no preachers? What if there are no preachers? Common, ordinary word. What if there are no preachers? If there are no preachers, then there's no hearing. If there's no preaching, there's no hearing, and there's no faith. And if there are no preachers, there's no hearing, there's no faith, there is no calling. And if there are no preachers, there's no hearing, no faith, nor calling, and there is no salvation. Amplifying this concept of common and ordinary words used in special ways, and to emphasize and to build upon that, can we think about the church for just a minute? Consider the church. The church is an army. The Bible over and over again talks about soldiers and uses that imagery to talk about those who are children of God. Uses that again and again in that way. That's a Bible picture of the church. The church is a family. Based upon that, we sing that song, one of my favorite songs. We're part of the family that's on its way home. That's why in these Wednesday nights we have what we call our family prayer, where we just pour out our hearts and just pray together about things that are happening in our lives and the lives of our friends and neighbors, and so we pray together. Well, there are other times that family attitude is shown again and again, but the church is a body. The church is a body. But the fact that the church is an army, we need to remember that not everybody in the army is a captain. The church is a family, but not everybody in the family is a father. Not everybody is the head of the house. And the church, even though it is a body, is not made up of just the important parts, the eyes, as an illustration. I believe the point that we're trying to make is that simply because I may not have great abilities in serving the Lord does not mean that I have no abilities to serve the Lord. You know who are some of the most important people in this church? I believe with all my heart that some of the most important people, the people sitting right back there in that room with the babies right now, allowing us to worship God. They're never visible. They're hardly ever mentioned at all. I think the point I'm trying to make is we need to find our place in the kingdom of God. You and I need to understand that in this whole concept of evangelizing the world, there is something every one of us can do. There's a place for every one of us to do. Are you, young people, are you as weird as I am? I can tell you how many planks there were in that building over on 36th Street. Are you a counter? I go to a church building. If they got bricks up in the front, I can tell you how many bricks there are by the end of services. Am I the only weird one? Paul, am I the only one other than you that knows there's 101 light bulbs in this auditorium? Do you know how important these lights are? We may not think about these 101 light bulbs having any importance, and there you are counting them. I'm sorry, do that on your own time, okay? Don't you try to figure this out right now. It's taken me 9 years to add this number up right, but I've got it right now. Do you know how important these lights are? And the reason I think Paul may not know the exact number, but he knows, you stop and think about trying to keep all these light bulbs burning. Is that important? Yeah. Is it important? And you start thinking about everything that is involved in making this church function. Not everybody can go sit down in somebody else's house and teach in the Bible. We're not made that way. Not everybody can lead singing. You know, we may be tone deaf. Wouldn't it be interesting? We got to heaven and found out the angels were tone deaf, by the way. You stop and think about it. We may not have the ability to lead singing. We may not have the ability to stand in front of a class and teach the Word of God. But what I'm trying to say is that in this big picture of world evangelism, there is something every one of us can do. And what you and I need to do is to find our place and occupy it. Now, Josh has already mentioned that our gospel meeting is beginning. We're just 2 weeks away from the beginning of our meeting. And so for the next several minutes, we're going to talk about where we can fit in this gospel meeting. I think we know the details of the gospel meeting, do we not? Do you know who's going to preach in our gospel meeting? A songbook might help you if you look right in front of you. His name is Sam Jones. That's not an alias. That's really his name. Now, we need you to do something. Some of you have already done this on Wednesday night. We need to do it again today. And that is, would you take one of those postcards that's been passed down the aisle, and would you write Sam's address on the front of that postcard? Now, if you were here Wednesday night and you wrote him a card, you may want to write a card to his wife, Rhonda. She's also coming with him. Or you may want to write two cards this morning. Instead of counting light bulbs, why not write cards? Or you may want to send a card, especially our young people. You might want to send a card to Will. Now, if you can do that and listen at the same time, I want you to listen to this video clip of Sam preaching during our recent lectureship.
When I read that verse, automatically Romans 6:17 come to mind. But Paul told the saints at Rome, God be thanked that you once were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart a form of doctrine. When you obeyed that form of doctrine, you were then made free from sin. God be thanked tonight. I'm free from sin. And when you're free from sin, where can you go? John 8:21, John 8:24. You can go to heaven. There are people out there who want to go to heaven, but they can't go to heaven until they're free from sin. What'll free them? Light. Somebody's looking for light tonight. Are you letting your light shine? I plead with you. You see, what are some benefits of light? Light will bring people to the truth. And when people know the truth, they can be free from sin. John 8, verse 32. Do we have all the truth? Yes, we do. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into what? All the truth. We don't need a new revelation. Everything you and I need to know is right there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. God has given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Everything you and I need to know to be saved is right here in the truth. And the light has been revealed. The mystery about the church has been revealed. There's no question about the church. There's no question about how to worship God. John 4, 24. All those that worship God must, the light says, worship him in spirit. Spirit means the right attitude. When you come to worship God, you got to want to be there. Then you got to have truth. You see, it doesn't matter whether you're in that mountain when you worship God or in the city of Jerusalem, lady. God is seeking true worshipers. And true worshipers are those who have two things every time they come to worship. They must have two things. You see, you can come to church on Sunday morning and be full of zeal. But if you don't have the truth, guess who's not there? God's not there. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But if you're gathered and it's not by the authority of Jesus, he's not there. But you can have the truth and not want to be there. Guess who's not there? Jesus. You see, some churches of Christ, we have forgotten the fact that we ought to want to worship God. And when you want to worship God, you want to tell God, you want to praise God for his goodness. Psalms 100 and verse number 5, oh, God is so good. Oh, he's so worthy of praise. There's no way I can sleep in on Sunday morning. There's no way I can sleep in on Sunday evening. Why? God's been too good and he's worthy. Oh, let me go. My time is up.
How do you get folks excited about a gospel meeting? If that doesn't excite you, folks, I don't know what will. You have friends you'd like to come and hear this guy preach? I believe you would. A guy who loves the truth and preaches the truth and is so full of zeal and devotion to the Lord. What a great, great opportunity we have lying before us. And so you might just want to write on that card that you just saw a video of him and you think he's pretty good. Or whatever you want to say on that card. But we need that done. So whenever you finish with those cards, if you'll just lay those down on the pew and senior high, if you'll be responsible for picking up all of the cards that are there at the end of this service. Sam Jones, the what's a gospel meeting? What's that all about? Well, sometimes they're called revivals. That means to bring new life to that which is dead. And who knows but what the church needs. We need to be revived by God. Gospel meeting is simply an intensive period of time where we're trying to make an impact on the lost world. We only do this once a year, and that is during this third week of March this year. It's always during the month of March. We also need to understand as the when of it. I believe we know that 3 weeks from now would be March the 18th, or 2 weeks from now would be March the 18th, starting on a Sunday and ending on a Thursday evening. What time does it meet? Sunday, it meets at 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, and at 1 o'clock. Be aware of the fact that our evening services will be an afternoon service on the 18th. And then Monday through Thursday, we'll meet at 12:15, shortly after noon. Then at 6 o'clock, we'll meet together to eat. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll have our evening services together. Having mentioned that matter of eating, we need to recognize that on that Sunday, we'll be having an all-church dinner after our Sunday morning services. So please be making your plans accordingly. Well, we know the who and the what and the when. What about the how? How do I find my place in the kingdom of God? I'll tell you one way, is by inviting others to come. That's part of the how. You and I need to hear and have written on our minds for the next 2 weeks this question: how shall they hear? And every place you go, every person you meet, in the workplace, in the grocery store, wherever you find yourself, let this burning question be in your mind: how shall they hear? Now, we've tried to make it easy to invite others. As you leave this morning, we again have prepared this year this card, and they're wrapped up in rubber bands, so you can grab 10 or 15 of them in a bundle. And that is, the whole theme is entitled Discovering the Truth. Because we try to develop a theme that will work throughout. And while you may not be able to see it in detail as you look on the screen, there's a treasure map here. And there's a path that you go as you travel trying to find the truth. On the card that I'm looking at and that you'll have in your possession a little bit later, you'll be able to see that. And finally, you'll arrive over here where the trail ends up over here, and that is the Word of God. On the inside of that card are these words. Ever think about finding a lost treasure and the power to give you to do almost anything you desire? Most of us have, but the reality is it's not going to happen. Or is it? Treasures sometimes are found in the most unexpected places. Who's not heard of discovering that valuable painting someone has stashed in the attic, thinking it had no value? Wouldn't it be tragic if you overlooked a treasure that was so close that you might have never seen it? Some treasures are temporary. They may last for a while, but soon their worth is gone. But there is an eternal treasure. There's no treasure greater than truth. Truth is eternal and priceless. Spiritual truth is even more priceless. What a loss if you should miss finding it, but oh, what a gain when you do find it. Come, let us go on a treasure hunt together. You think of avenues and ways that you can use this card? Take several bundles as you leave today, and let's get these things out in this community. And let's distribute them so others can know of this gospel meeting. Go up and down the streets and give them to your neighbors. Think of ways that you can use these cards to tell others about it. Now, in addition to that, we've prepared another kind of card that says, "Please be my guest." And these are also available in the foyer. On the front side, you've got a series of life-changing lessons by Sam Jones of Henderson. You've got the when, you've got the where, and you've got a map to the building. On the back side of the card, you have the lessons, discovering the truth about the Bible, about baptism, about heaven, about worship, about the church, about the doctrines of men, about the judgment and hell. And these same topics also are found on this smaller card that we have. Now, in addition to that, we have an email that you can send to your friends. Hopefully, we'll be able to get this on our website so you can download it from our website. But those of you who already get the family news will be sent this email tomorrow so that you will have an email that you can has all of this same information you can send to everybody that's in your address book. Now, if you're not getting family news, that means we don't have your email address. So you might want, if you're not getting the family news, you might want to write your email address on a card and just leave that on the pew. And we'll get, so this can be sent to you. And so you can send all of these ways to tell others about it. What's our place in the gospel meeting? How shall they hear if we don't invite? What else can I do? Well, I can pray. I'd like to think there'd be a prayer army of hundreds of us who between now and 2 weeks from now, every day between now and then will be praying, God, help us in this meeting. And then there's that other aspect, and that is because we eat together so much, is to provide food. And that's what that little yellow slip of paper that has been sent to you is all about. Men and women, there's a place that you can get involved in this. You may not be a sandwich maker, but you can be that individual who goes and buys some sliced ham and some bread or something, or brings cookies or Cokes or something of that nature. And so there's a place for you to sign up for that. And so I'd like to ask everyone before you leave today to fill out this card. Is it yellow or whatever the color of it is? Fill out that card and leave that on the pews that the teens will be picking up. And then obviously, how shall they hear? I need to be here. I need to plan to be here for every service. If this truth that we believe and hold so dear to our heart is worth that much, then surely it's worth us rearranging our schedule to whatever way we possibly can in order to be here. And then let's honor our guests. Let's really make them special and think of all the different ways and things that you can do to make them feel welcome. The why of all of this is summed up in these words. The world is lost, and so are we if we do not go into all the world. Would you think about that? The world is lost, and so are we if we don't care the gospel of the world. Just briefly consider these closing facts. Christianity is a taught religion. You don't inherit Christianity because somebody else makes a decision for you. It is a taught religion. And every member is a teacher. We put that words in quotation marks because that doesn't mean formally standing before a group and teaching others. But in our own way, every one of us is a teacher. Preaching pleases God. We need to hear again 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that says, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save the world. There's something wrong with our heart if we don't enjoy preaching. It pleases God. God. And how happy God will be when in 2 weeks from now, 5 days are devoted. Let me just ask you a question. Do you really believe Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And the part of that verse that really implies our part in this whole process, how shall they hear? And who is there among us that cannot say to others, come and see? I believe that every person on this earth has the ability to say that to every other friend that they have and every acquaintance. I may not be able to preach like Paul, and I may not be able to stand like Peter on the day of Pentecost and proclaim the Word of God. I may not be able to be as talented as others are in the kingdom of God, but there's not a single one of us who cannot do like those disciples in the first century did, who brought their friends to the Lord using three words, come and see. And the last thing along these lines that really needs to be kept in mind, that is, keep seeing souls. It's easy to see people and not see souls. It's easy to see that person in the line ahead of us who is going to make us late getting out to our car and getting on the next trip. It's easy to see the person who is around us, but what we've got to do is to see souls. Because you see, the truth is, the world is lost, and so are we. Imagine on the day of judgment, I knew the truth, and I did not hear and answer the question to whatever level of ability that I have. Imagine on the day of judgment, God saying to me, Dan, how shall they hear if every member of the church were as interested as you are in reaching the lost world? How many in the lost world will have heard the gospel in the last year? May God help us. Because you see, our elders have called us as our leaders. They have decided, and as was mentioned in the prayer, God bless our elders. And may they lead us. I believe, Novell, you said the prayer. May they lead us in saving a lost world. That's what this is all about. And so Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the faith, whose faith follow. And verse 17 says, obey those that have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that be unprofitable for you. Our elders have called us as His army in this place 2 weeks from now to be a marching force to reach a lost world. But it's not just our elders. There is a commander-in-chief whom the Bible in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, the Greek has the word captain. Looking unto Jesus, the captain and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is our captain, and our captain longs for the world to be saved. That's the purpose of his army. That's why he's called me to be a foot soldier. And he says to me, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. May God help us to do all we can in this concerted effort that begins 2 weeks from today. Are you here this morning and you need to call on the name of the Lord that you might be saved? You can't call on Him in whom you have not believed, and so you must believe. Mark 16, 16 says, he that believeth not shall be damned. You cannot call upon the Lord unless you've made up your mind. That's called repentance. Luke 13 and verse 3 says, except you repent, you'll perish. And you cannot call upon the name of the Lord unless you have confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 says that confession is unto salvation. And if you want to understand calling on the name of the Lord, you cannot ignore Acts chapter 22 verse 16 that says, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. And whoever, the verse we've already noted, calls on the Lord shall be saved. You this very morning can arise and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on Him to save you. And then the most wonderful thing happens. He makes you a part of that family, that body, that church, that kingdom, that army. And He says to every one of us, now you just do your best. Live faithfully until you die. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. you haven't done that, if you need to respond to this invitation, I want you to be let it known by come to the front as together we stand and sing.